Hey, you're listening to Blindsight. Let's go. Mental health isn't something to take lightly. It's time to fight. It's time to thrive. Let's do this.
Well, hello, everyone. We're heading into a new year. We can put 2024 behind us and go look to do wonderful things in 2025. And maybe with the help of Blindsight program today, we'll become perfect for 2025. Sure. This is your host, Bill Lundgren, with co-host Jonathan Price, and we've been looking forward to doing this. How are you, Jonathan?
I am fantastic. Christmas was absolutely epic. Looking forward to New Year's Eve, and yeah, I'm just ready for 2025 to get launched. It's been a interesting 2024. I don't know that it was necessarily bad or good, depending on how you look at it, but it just kind of, for me, was a year that just was. A lot changed, a lot happened, but I am excited to take 2024 and use it as a launching point for 25, for sure.
Yeah. That's a good point, because I think many people have been in a transition period during 2024, and the transition may be continuing, but, you know, we got through, I know in my life, a lot of transitions, and sometimes it's a little like, what happened? When we come to 2025, so, maybe one of my resolutions is to get better control over this transition.
That's right.
But what we want to do today is, because everybody, well, at least everybody I know, and probably everybody you know, Jonathan, is making New Year's resolutions. This may be just an American tradition, but I don't think so. I think all over the world we think, oh, brand new year, you know, and it's, I'm going to do everything right in 2025 that I didn't do right in 2024. And the resolutions we make so many of them that, well, I'll give you an example. If you go to a gym or to a health facility, you go in January and you have to stand in line to get the equipment because everybody's decided, I'm going to lose weight. And then by March, you can go in and the equipment is standing there empty and everybody sort of given up on the idea.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to start working out in March.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Just wait around till March. Then you'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
But you see, we go with great intention. And as somebody once said, and what is it? Intention is the royal road to hell, you know. Good intentions, the royal road to hell.
There you go.
We applaud the intention, but the thing is we have to set it up in a way that makes sense for our particular situation. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. For example, if you're like a lot of people, you just write down, I'm going to lose weight, a whole list of things, and then you say, this is what I'm going to do, and there's no action plan with it. And there's also not a sense, and there's also a grandiose sense of how much time it's going to take.
Right.
You know, like we say, I'm going to go to the gym 7 days a week. But we it's easy to make that plan. Yep. It's not so easy to execute. That's one of the first failings of New Year's resolutions. They're all they're grandiose, and they don't have anything in back. And what I like to encourage people to do, and I do myself sometimes a little bit out of hand, I recognize what I'm giving you is kind of like distilling the mistakes that I've made. I tend to do a to-do list. And the to-do list tends to be run around, first time around, I put on an Excel spreadsheet, and it runs around, well, maybe 200 items, separate sure. items.
Yeah.
And I want to close the computer down at that point. But what I have to do is look through the list and say, wait a minute, what's priority here?
Yeah.
What is important for me to do? And particularly, I have when I do a to-do list, I'm just talking off the top of my head, and I put in items that belong under some of the priorities, and they have separate categories, so the list looks so long. And but what we do is, if you can do this, brainstorm, what is it that you want to change? But there's this, that's one step. But the yeah. second step is to ask yourself, okay, of the things that I have there, what do I think at this moment is the priority, should be the priority? And then when you select from that list, and that list may still be long, but then you've got to ask yourself, why do I feel this is the priority? Why is this important? Why is this being put in the top list? And if we have, if you can't come up with a good reason, take it out.
Yeah.
But if you say, if you have, and you'll find that will weed the list pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And then when you go through the list again, then say, okay, I've decided that these are important. Now, of this group, let me decide on three, and smaller mm-hmm. number, three,
yeah.
to yep. begin with. You may get to all the others later, but do select no more than three and take those out and say, okay, what are the steps that I have to take in order mm-hmm. to achieve this priority that I've selected? What are the steps? Yeah. And sometimes when we look at the steps, we may say, that's not going to work. Or we may say, yeah, I can include this. And then you have to take the steps and allow yourself time to be mm-hmm. able to complete the steps. In other words, if you have, I want to lose weight, then you have to look at the steps that you have to take to do it, how much time those steps will take. And you may say, oh, work out at the gym 7 days a week. No, I wouldn't do that. I would start from a right. very small, get yourself used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I, after the pandemic, I had, you know, we weren't able to go to the gym and work out. But my neighbor was kind enough to take me to the gym and kind of watch me as I do my program and make sure that, sure. you know, I did it right and didn't hurt myself. But she also taught me some stretching exercises. And I said, well, I've got to do something. So
yeah.
I started doing the stretching exercises. But of course, I said, I'm going to do it every single day. I'm, you know, and
right.
it didn't work. And but I gave myself a break and say, okay, I can't do it. I didn't do it today, but that doesn't mean I can't do it tomorrow. And tomorrow mm-hmm. comes, I would do it. Would gradually find myself doing more and more, and to the point where I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
And I feel uncomfortable when I don't do it, which is a good thing, because I really, mm-hmm. I'll make myself more uncomfortable if I'm not doing stretching yeah. exercises. And not only that, but I have built, and maybe this is a little obsessive compulsive, but in the morning I have certain steps that I take before, for example, doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that includes, you know, the first thing, getting my cup of coffee, because it's mm-hmm. dangerous for me to be outside without mm-hmm. some coffee in my system.
me too.
Feed the dog, take him out, and then exercise, and then make breakfast, then get some breakfast together. Then I finally get my shower and shave, and I'm all set. And that does a couple things, including help me to balance the time, you know, so I don't distract myself. And it also helps me to feel good by the time I actually sit down and do something, you know, like this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that structure I need in the morning. The rest of the day can be total chaos, and often it is. But at least I got the basis of the exercise. Now, our listener may have some other things they want to structure in a way that they do it. And I think that's one of the important steps to take, is to build it into your schedule. Because if there's an option not to do something that's not on your regular schedule, you know what's going to happen. And so making a New Year's resolution, a successful one, will require you to make a commitment, shape it in such a way that you're most likely to carry it out successfully. And at the end of it, at the end of the day, or the end of, you know, you can set some point where you reward yourself for exercising that, you know, that schedule that you set up, which can be, you know, just a reward of just saying to yourself, it's great, I'm so glad you're doing that. Self-praise, yeah. If you will.
Yeah.
But whatever helps to say, okay, I'm keeping on this, and it's really working for me, and do it long enough to say, okay, this is going to be part of my routine. And if you miss it, just say, okay, I missed it yesterday. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing it. It means next day I have to build it in. But the other part of it, too, is to understand that once it becomes part of your routine, this is something that you won't have to focus on anymore. You just do it. Which also means to set a time to be sure that whatever it is that you're doing is really helping you. Some people, you know, like we talked, the fitness center, they say, oh, I go in for 2 weeks, and if it's not doing anything for me, I won't continue.
Yeah.
And they don't say that, but their brain says that. And if you can say, okay, let me try this schedule for 90 days. Mm-hmm. And at the end of 90 days, I have the option to say, this is not working for me.
Yeah.
But I've got, it could be 90 days, it could be 60 days. You decide. But you have to give whatever this new thing that you're incorporating time to work and to reinforce itself. If it's not reinforcing itself, then obviously it's not right for you. And then you can go and look at some other things that may be more helpful. But you've got to give yourself some time. You've got to give yourself a break when you're starting new patterns, that if you miss it on a day or whatever, it doesn't mean anything. You just commit yourself to doing it the next day. And then until it becomes, as I say, like my stretching exercises, I really notice it in my mind when I haven't done it. And if I can't do it in that tight schedule I have, I make sure in the afternoon I find some time to be able to do it. So I do it every day and because I really feel good about doing it. And a lot of people comment, you know, that I'm that I look good and that I am able to get around. You know, I went to a birthday party of someone who was 5 years younger than me, 7 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And she was using a walker, and she was just having a terrible time. And I said, it may be genetically that wouldn't have happened to me, or it may be because the exercises are keeping me on tune. What about you, Jonathan?
So every year when I go through my own personal life, obviously I inventory what I did in the past year and then look to the future. I completely got away from creating a list of things that I want to do or my list of to-dos And really, I've shifted my focus into like character building and mm-hmm. things that I wanted to improve on with myself.
Yeah, but you of are course, a there character. Are things that
I am. You are I a am, character. Man. I'm a massive character. But, well, and to that point, my life has changed so dramatically for the better because of the things that I have kept in focus all year long. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily to lose weight, which I am still in the process of. It's getting more healthy, getting more sleep, less technology, right. Less things like that. Those are all good things that we should, you know, do that Absolutely. Are mm-hmm. tangible things. But every year between, you know, right after Halloween and all the way up to the new year, I really spend some time in my morning, my self time in the morning with devotions and those journaling and things like that to really evaluate who I want to be in the next year, who I have been, what my words were, who I want to be in the next year. And so for 2025, it's been really heavy on my heart to have this courageous mindset. Because 2024 was rough. My divorce was finalized. I went on an amazing trip to Boston. The kids are doing fantastic in school. There were a lot of changes that happened in my life. And so sometimes when you go through those things in life, you don't have time to really be consciously courageous about them. You just have to take one day at a time, and then you end up stacking days on each other. You look back and you're like, how in the world did I make it through all that? And really what I want to focus on for 25 are these three words. Connection. I want to improve my connection. And so I wrote down a couple of little things. So connection, to cultivate deeper connections, whether through friendship, family, community, valuing the people around me and building bonds that enrich my life. So that's the connection aspect. And then I have growth, which is a focus on continuous improvement and personal development, embracing each experience as an opportunity to expand my skills, mindset, and character. And then the last one I have is that courageous piece, and that is to embrace boldness in pursuing my dreams, my fears, my taking risks that will lead to growth. And so that may be things like investing or saving up to buy a home or, you know, getting a new car, taking all not unnecessary risks, but calculated Right. risks so that I can grow. And then I wrote out a mission statement for 2025, and it says, in 25, I commit to strengthening the bonds that enrich my life, nurturing growth in myself and those around me, and facing each moment with unwavering courage. Through deep connections, an open heart for learning, and boldness in the face of fear, I'll create a life that reflects resilience, purpose, and joy, leaving a positive impact on those I encounter. So that's my quote-unquote resolution.
That is a terrific resolution, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And too many times people will think of resolution as things they want to check off a checklist. Not necessarily right. that that's a bad thing, but the word resolutions means, or resolute, means to make final, to make concrete, to make a covenant with yourself.
Right, mm-hmm.
And we use that word as resolution as something that is so flippant
yeah.
that it almost holds no meaning anymore, which is mm-hmm. really frustrating.
Yeah.
And so I needed to take those three words and really dive down into what they meant for me. And so that's an exercise that you guys can do in the coming months and kind of to give you all a picture of what's going to be happening in the next couple of months. We're going to do one more episode on this about, we've kind of been talking about looking back, but now for the beginning of January, we're going to look forward. And one of the things that hit me on my trip to Boston was, you know, the intent of going to Boston was it was a closing on of you know, my previous 40 years, because it was for my 40th birthday. So that was kind of a, it was supposed to be a closing of that chapter. Well, when I actually got out there, I realized that it was no longer a closing of the chapter, but it was really a launching off point that I was like, wow, okay, I don't need to process any of the frustration or anger or because I've already done all that. Now what do I have to, now all this, I'm going to use this as a launching from point. And my mom laughed because she went on the trip with me. She goes, I totally thought you would be so much more emotional on this trip. And I'm kind of disappointed because I wanted to be there for you. And I was like, Mom, you are there for me. It's just now you get to see the launching from point instead of the conclusion, because I didn't want to have this trip be a something where I was going to, you know, fall apart on all the time.
Right.
And because that's not how you want to remember an epic trip. And, you know, I just really took to heart doing things with intentionality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important when you go into a new season of life, whether it be the start of a new year, marriage, new kids, pets, you know, anything that is new or life changing, do it with intent and do it with a clear mind and a clear conscience. And so for the next couple of months, we're actually going to be going through the 12-step program. And we're going to take every step and break it into a one-week thing. And there's tons of podcasts that do this. But we really wanted to take a look at how these 12 steps not only affect people who have been in AA, but this is really good for everybody who have been through life. If you are alive, you will benefit from these 12 steps, and it's going to be really, really encouraging. I know it will be for me. I know it'll be for you, and it's really good reminders, and I can't think of a better way to kick off 25 than to go through these 12 steps.
Great idea. I feel fortunate in having been around. You know, I started off as an addiction counselor, so I had to become familiar with it, and it really does make a difference. The one observation I wanted to make in regard to your journey, it's interesting, and I've heard this from various counselors and psychologists, that the 10 years, and particularly 40, that's when I made some major changes myself when I was 40, became 40, and I was assured by a psychiatrist that I was seeing at the time, that yes, this is frequent, where you reach that zero, that 40 time, and we're affected by it, and a lot of times we will use it as a kickoff point, as you did, to make this different. Doesn't mean we won't do that at 42 or 43 or whatever.
Sure.
It just means that there's a tendency in human nature for those decades to say, okay, something's got to change. And if our listeners are coming close to the decade and they're feeling uncomfortable, go with it, because that may be your kicking off point to make changes. And this month, where we're looking forward and backwards, it, you know, can be a kicking point for us to make changes that are meaningful. And what you found is a way to make it meaningful to you.
Yep.
For other people, there may be, I'm sure there are other ways, but whatever, whatever means you do, if the issue is we're, the previous year is over with. And as they say, the past we can't change. And we can't be sure about predicting the future. What we have is today.
Yeah.
And everything depends on what we do today, because that's what we have, the present.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what we have to begin to grab a hold of. And make it the way that we want it to be. And that's the... You know, sometimes we get very discouraged and say, you know, we shame ourselves or something happened and we, you know, say it's our fault and the rest and the future is going to be a disaster and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's a mindset that's not helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can we can wallow in it. It's okay to give yourself permission to wallow in it for 10 minutes. But at the end of 10 minutes, say, okay, enough of the wallowing. I'm going to move forward. And we can do that.
Yeah. Well, and there's a difference between, and this is a whole other topic for another show, so I'm not going to get too into it. But there's a difference between acknowledging the past and accepting the past.
Right.
And if I won't get into all the nitty gritty of that, but it's important
we'll
to
that later.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have a couple of shows, and we're going to have an amazing shows for the next couple of years, hopefully. Lord willing.
Yeah, hopefully.
I really want to get to real quick as we round out this show. It is okay to take a look at an inventory, what you did in 2024. Sometimes you can leave the emotions in it. Sometimes you have to remove them. It's important when you go into 25 to look at the facts of 24 rather than the emotions behind them. Because the only way that you can change your life is through addressing the facts of what happened in 24 and trying to move forward from them. And to dwell on them is giving credence to those emotions and letting them run your life.
You got it. And but you have to accept that they're there and say, okay, this is what I can do differently. And
That's right.
When we look back, I want us to look back at it objectively with compassion and say, okay, that is what happened. I can't undo it, but what can I do in the future?
Yeah.
Learning, because all these mistakes we made are just opportunities, as they say in 12-step program, opportunities for growth, opportunity to learn how to do something differently.
Yeah.
And that's our human, our capacity to be able to do that. But we have to, you know, forgive ourselves and say, okay, I'm moving forward with 2025.
Absolutely.
With enthusiasm and with the knowledge of things that I need to take a look at and how I can make myself be the kind of person that I want to be.
Yeah,
and you can do it. You can do it.
Yes, you can. And as we go into 25, it's important that you were talking about when you making decisions is to make a very smart one coming up in the next couple of days, because you got New Year's parties, you got New Year's Eve, you got New Year's Day. And because we're going to go into our 12 steps, I would be remiss in reminding everybody to not drink and drive, to get designated driver, make sure that you are taking care of yourself, and start 25 by making a good choice.
Right.
And being responsible with your body, with your alcohol consumption, with the people that you associate with, you know, all of those things. Make 2024. Celebrate it, go hard, go home, and then hit 25, you know, hit the ground running.
And don't, you know, one of the things we talk about is if you want to go to one of the rowdiest parties in New Year's Eve, go to the parties that are AA oriented.
Yeah.
Because they don't need, you know, you really don't need alcohol to be rowdy.
Right.
And those parties do demonstrate it very amply for those who are in the program to discover, I can be me, I can be whatever I want to be, I don't have to do it under the influence.
Well, and how many of us either want to wake up New Year's morning with a bad hangover or, you know, even worse, in jail? You know, that's not a great way to start your year.
No.
Just be responsible. Take care of yourself.
As I mentioned before, that was my last blackout. That was my last drink with New Year's Eve. That was enough. Fortunately, I didn't hurt anybody or myself, except I was sick as a dog. But it meant that I can't drink anymore.
Yep.
And nothing terrible has happened since I stopped drinking that, you know, would have happened, you know, that wouldn't have happened, you know, anyway. The point is sobriety for me, not forever. No, that's not saying everybody, but for me, I just learned not that drinking is not the thing for me to do. So that's fine. I did it.
Sure. That's right. Well, it'll be nice next week. We got a couple of guest questions going into the new year that I've been saving up. So it'll be fun to have those going in. And if you have any questions, 720-712-8856, or you can reach us on the email line feedback@aftersight.org. Check us out on Spotify and go check out our other podcast, Aftersight as a whole. We have four different podcasts. We've got Blindsight that you're listening to now, Navigating Life with Vision Loss, The Blind Chick with Penn and Moses Tree, and one of my favorite personal shows, Blind Level Tech with Evan Starnes and Kelvin Crosby. They are just killing it. And so thank you guys for listening so much to this year. We couldn't do this without you. You guys keep us going. You guys keep us afloat. And your questions, your comments, we get them all. And it's fantastic. So, Bill, what would you like to say as we close out 2024?
I want to say thank you. Well, thank you for the opportunity to do this and Aftersight to do these programs, but also most of all, that people are listening. Sometimes I'm amazed that people listen to me. My friends don't, but we have all these people who listen to Blindsight. And I say thank you all for being in that audience and cheering us on, as we say. Thank you and look forward to the coming year.